Shoot Sports, who is a major supplier of football helmets for the National Football League, issues the following warning on their website's homepage. Warning, no helmet system can prevent concussions or eliminate the risks of serious injury, head or neck injuries while playing football. Now, the warning label, you can see it up there. Some of you are probably actually reading it. The warning label contains some information about the symptoms of concussions, and then it repeats the previous warning, and it concludes with these words. To avoid these risks, you know, the risks of playing football, do not engage in the sport of football. A visitor to the website cannot access any further content until checking a box next to the words, please indicate that you have read and understand the message. At least the company's honest about the risks of playing football. And in the same way, the Bible is honest about the risks of following Jesus. In a way, the Bible says, to avoid the risks of discipleship, do not engage in following Jesus. See, discipleship, it entails risks. Following Jesus means opening yourself to opposition, resentment, harm, injury, and possibly even death. During Jesus' ministry, he experienced growing opposition and persecution. And he noticed that his disciples were becoming increasingly fearful as they saw what was happening to him. And so he urged them not to fear people, but instead to fear and reverence God, knowing that God cares deeply for each and every one of them. And then he urged his disciples to acknowledge him before men. So today, as we continue, we're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 12, and find out what it teaches us about acknowledging Christ before men. The first thing we want to do is to look at the priority of acknowledging Christ. This importance, this priority, it has both a positive and a negative. We want to look at the positive aspect first. The positive aspect of acknowledging Christ before men. Our text picks up at verse 8. Jesus said, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. Jesus puts our relationship to him in eternal perspective. He says that if we acknowledge him before others here on earth, then that will lead to him acknowledging us before the angels of heaven. See, that's an astonishing statement right there, isn't it? But what does it mean to acknowledge Jesus Christ? What does it mean to acknowledge him before men? Surely it means that we have embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means that we are clear about our allegiance with Jesus. You know, we're on his side. It means that we affirm by our actions and by our words that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. It means that whatever we do, whether at work or at school or at home or at play, we do it all for Jesus. See, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To acknowledge Christ before men means that we do all of these things, regardless of the opposition or even the persecution that we may suffer. Jesus has promised that if we acknowledge him, then he will acknowledge us on that last day. What a precious promise that is for every single believer. On the day that we die, we will stand before God, and everything about us will be revealed. All of our sins, even those secret sins, they will be exposed before a holy God. Each one of us will stand condemned by God's law, condemned by our sin, condemned by our conscience, and even condemned by Satan himself. We will stand before God without hope. But, and that is a glorious but, if we have acknowledged Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then Jesus Christ himself will rise up in our defense. He will tell the Father and all the angels of God that we belong to him by faith. He will tell them that he died to pay the penalty for every single one of our sins, even the secret ones. He will tell the tribunal of heaven that because of our faith in him, because we have received the gospel, because we have acknowledged him here on earth, he is acknowledging to all of heaven that we belong to him. His merit, it covers all of our demerits, and we must be accepted into heaven because of what he has done for us. And you know what? God will do it. God will allow us into heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. If Jesus has promised to acknowledge us in heaven, then we should take courage and acknowledge him on earth. Now listen to what Bishop J.C. Ryle said. The difficulty of confessing Christ is undoubtedly very great. It never was easy at any period, and it never will be easy as long as the world stands. It is sure to entail on us laughter, ridicule, contempt, mockery, enmity, and persecution. The world which hated Christ will always hate true Christians. But whether we like it or not, whether it is hard or easy, our course is perfectly clear. In one way or another, Christ must be confessed. But what if we do not acknowledge Christ before men? You see, that is the negative aspect of not acknowledging Christ before men. And Jesus went on and said in verse 9, "But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God." Again, what does it mean not to acknowledge Jesus Christ? What does it mean to deny him before men? Surely it means that we do not stand with or for Jesus Christ. It means that we do not acknowledge that we are a Christian. It means that when people speak against Christ and Christianity, we remain silent. Jesus said that if we do not acknowledge him, we deny him. And if we deny him, then he will deny us. See, that's a fearful warning for each and every one of us. On the day that we die and we stand before God, all of our sins will be revealed. We will be condemned and we will have no hope. And instead of Jesus rising up in our defense, he will instead rise up and deny any knowledge of us because we did not take a stand for Jesus Christ while we were alive on earth. He will not take a stand for us when we die and we stand before God in heaven. Now someone may ask, well, what about Peter's denial of Jesus? And yes, it is true that Peter denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. Is that an illustration of the denial of which Jesus speaks about here in verse 9? Peter denies Jesus three times and he quickly regretted it. He repents of his sin. And then Jesus restored him to fellowship. And subsequently, after that, Peter always acknowledged Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Denying Jesus, that is not acknowledging Jesus Christ, it is sobering. My question to you is simple. Do you, each one of you, today, right here, right now, acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do, and if your life reflects your profession, you may be assured that Jesus will acknowledge you before him, will acknowledge that you belong to him in heaven. But if you do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I need to warn you as clearly as I can that if you die without such a profession, Jesus will acknowledge that you do not belong to him up in heaven. That's a sobering thought right there. The second thing is to notice the principles in acknowledging Jesus before men. See, verse 10 is kind of a difficult verse to understand. Nevertheless, there are still two principles that we can observe from that. The first is that there is a sin that is forgivable. In the first half of verse 10, Jesus said, "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven." What does it mean to speak a word against the Son of Man? You know, Jesus? Well, I think Philip Ryken explains it well when he said, to speak against the Son of Man is to speak against Jesus Christ without fully understanding who he is or what he has done. Nevertheless, to speak a word against the Son of Man is a sin. But here is the good news. It is a sin that can and will be forgiven. A good example of such forgiveness is the forgiveness that Jesus offered the people who taunted him while he was hanging on the cross. See, in Luke chapter 23, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Almost all Christians have spoken a word against Jesus before coming to a saving faith in him. But as soon as we fully understood who he was and what he had done, we repented of what we said, and we received that forgiveness from him. Now, the second thing we get from this verse is that there is a sin that is unforgivable. Jesus continued in verse 10, the second half of it, and said, "But everyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." Now, this is where the text is difficult to understand. What does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? Anyone want to take a shot at it? I don't either. Again, I think that Philip Ryken gives a good answer. He said from similar passages that you can find in Matthew and Mark, it appears to be the sin of someone who knows that Jesus is the Christ, but attributes all of his power to Satan instead. Now, R.C. Sproul, he agrees with Ryken, and he says that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is when a person has become aware of the true identity of Jesus through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. If that person then calls Jesus the devil, that is the unforgivable sin. Now, sometimes people worry if they've blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, if they have therefore committed that unforgivable sin. But the mere fact that a person worries about whether or not he or she has committed blasphemy is an indication that they haven't blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. See, a person who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit is so strongly opposed to Jesus Christ that that person actually believes that Jesus is Satan. And that is the sin that will not be forgiven. If you're here and you're sitting in this room, then most likely you have not done it, because you're at least searching if you haven't found. The third observation that I want to make this morning is the persecution of acknowledging Christ before men. First, notice the hostility and the persecution. The first half of verse 11, Jesus said, "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities." Jesus here is preparing his disciples for persecution. See, they would be dragged before the various religious and political leaders, and they would be forced to defend their faith. In fact, this happened very, very shortly after Jesus' death, resurrection, and then his ascension into heaven. When Peter and John were arrested and hauled before the Jewish Sanhedrin, you see, the apostles, they were often arrested for their faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing is to look at the help that comes during that persecution. Beginning in the second half of verse 11, Jesus said, "Do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." When Peter and John were arrested and they're hauled off before the Sanhedrin, the Holy Spirit helped them to say what ought to be said to the Sanhedrin. The same was true for the Apostle Paul. When he was arrested and he was brought before various officials, and then each and every time, the Holy Spirit helped them to say what ought to be said. It was another opportunity right there to acknowledge Christ before men. Now, although Jesus' promise was particularly directed at the disciples at that time. It also applies in principle to all disciples of Jesus Christ. We can trust the Holy Spirit to help us whenever we speak for Jesus Christ. Now, you may feel that you are inadequate or ill-prepared or not very knowledgeable. But you see, that is not the point. Just tell what you know about Jesus. Tell what it is that He has done in your life or what it is that He is doing in your life. And then pray that the Holy Spirit will take the words that you say, however inadequate they may seem to you, and do the saving work that only the Spirit can do in people's lives. You see, Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 12, it teaches us this concept of acknowledging Christ before men, and that we should take a stand for Jesus Christ. As we begin wrapping up, there was one man who took a stand for Jesus Christ. Although he wavered for a while, his name was Thomas Cranmer. He was the famous Archbishop of Canterbury and the author of the Book of Common Prayer. Cranmer was at the forefront of the English Reformation. He served Jesus Christ faithfully for many years. But when Bloody Mary became Queen of England, the Roman Catholic Church condemned Cranmer to die. He was forced to watch in anguish as two of his friends, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, were burned at the stake in the center of Oxford. For a time, Cranmer faltered. Fearing the pains of his body more than the authority of God, he recanted of his faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did this, writes one biographer, because he saw the poignant contrast between the pleasant prospect of life and the vivid horror of an agonizing death. Now, happily, on the eve of his execution, Cranmer's courage returned. He repented of his sin and he recanted all of his recantations. As he looked to eternity, he realized that he feared God more than he feared the Queen of England or the fiery pains of death. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, Cranmer went to his death making one last courageous profession of his faith in Jesus Christ. In his farewell remarks, he exhorted the people to care less for this world and more for God and the world to come. Not to fear the Queen, but only fear the power of God. Now, at this point, God may not be calling you to go die as a martyr for Jesus Christ. However, He is calling you, each and every one of you, each and every one of us, to take a stand for Jesus Christ, to acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior. He is calling you to live for Jesus and to speak for Jesus in your home, in your office, the playground, the neighborhood, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, speak for Jesus. And then remember that as you do so, the Holy Spirit will speak through you and give you the words to share. And that you also have a glorious promise that Jesus then will take a stand for you on the day that you appear before God in heaven. So the question, as we wrap it up right here, are you willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ?